Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text today is the epistle from 1 Corinthians 13, this memorable and marvelous passage on God's divine love, a love that never fails, never ends. We also call this grace, the undeserved love that God generously shows to us sinners, the love we are called to reflect to our fellow Christians and neighbors. 1 Corinthians 13 is a text that's often read at weddings, isn't it? And that's understandable, for we should want husbands and wives to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things with such love for their spouse. But Paul really is describing our Savior and his love for you most of all. The church fathers show their wisdom in having us read 1 Corinthians 13 today, this Sunday within 50 days of Easter, as we endeavor to head with our Lord Jesus up to Jerusalem through this upcoming Lenten season on the road to his saving death on the cross and his victorious resurrection and the celebration of those. The gospel today shows us this perfect divine love in the Lord. He predicts his death and his resurrection to his disciples so that they would be prepared for what is coming. He loves them. And then he shows his love in healing the blind man. Jesus speaks of the tongues of men and of angels for sure. But in love for us, he is no noisy gong or clanging cymbal. He freely reveals all for our salvation, telling the disciples again and again, he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, shamefully treated, mocked, spit upon, flogged, and killed, and he endures it all out of love for you, for his fallen children. He indeed goes up into Jerusalem to fulfill all prophecy, to lay down his life for his friends, and even for his enemies. He gives away all that he has, even his last garment, his last shred of dignity, his last dying breath. He gives everything away. He delivers up his body to be burned in his Father's righteous wrath over our sin, over sin that he himself is innocent of. He is therefore ever most patient and kind. He suffers all, remains silent to the envy, arrogance, and rude treatment of those who mock him. Even in the midst of his own loneliness and agony on the cross, he still thinks of others. He forgives the penitent thief his sin, relieves him of his burdens, welcomes him that day into paradise. He arranges for his mother to be looked after from the cross, catechized and kept in the church. He gives her care into the hands of the blessed apostle whom he loves. He calls on the Father from his cross to forgive those who crucify him, for they know not what they are doing. Undeserved divine love shown for the loveless, that they might lovely be, as we sing in one of our Lenten hymns. God sent his Son to be the atonement for our sins. We hear it this way: God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son in this way to bear all things and endure all things, even to the death. The Son believes and hopes that all things that his Father wills, even his own innocent suffering and death on the cross, are for the ultimate good, and that the Father will vindicate this obedience that he shows. As for prophecies, they will pass away. The time will come when there is nothing more to preach. As for tongues, they will cease. We will be one family in Christ. As for knowledge, it too will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, even the Lord in judgment, having been crucified, raised, and ascended, when he comes on that glorious day, in his glorious mercy to get us and bring us home, then the partial will pass away. We will know and have all things in him. Now you see in a mirror dimly, with scarcely more understanding than the disciples, and perhaps not as much as blind Bartimaeus, crying out to the Son of David for mercy. But then, on that day, you will see him face to face. Now we know in part, and then we shall know fully, even as we have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. The righteous man was lifted up on the cross to draw all men unto himself, suffering for the ungodly in order that he might lead them back to his Father in heaven. True love that is hard to understand and hard to believe, that the Father wants us sinners back in his fold, whole, undefiled, healed, and all done for us freely, given freely. The talk of a crucified Savior, the talk of showing such divine love, was, of course, a stumbling block to the Jew and foolishness to the Gentile. The disciples can see with their own eyes, yet they do not see with the eye of faith to understand what Jesus says to them. They see, but they don't truly. They hear, but they do not understand. It was a mystery to them. How could the Messiah give up his life? Was not the kingdom of Israel to be restored here on earth? And to the Romans and the other Gentiles, such divine condescension was utter foolishness, weakness, where the pantheon of gods and emperors ruled by strength and might on earth, never by sacrificial love. Jesus told us last week in the parable of the sower that the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh would actively work against his word. You can see that happening in the 12 disciples in today's gospel. They do not understand what Jesus takes them aside to tell them, to prepare them for. They do not want to hear it. Peter will deny our Lord. Judas will betray him to the Romans. The rest will flee in terror and leave Jesus all alone at his arrest. But all this Jesus bore patiently. The sinful flesh and the whispers of the devil in each sin-stricken conscience still consider this revelation of divine love in a crucified Savior to be irrational and foolish. Too many preachers, secular and Christian, put their faith in moralism and character development. And they try to coach you into making yourself a better person. Jesus becomes just another great teacher, an example to follow if he is listened to at all. There are also too many sermons being preached out there that you must love who you want to love, when you want to love them, and how you want to love them. There's not a lot of talk of giving yourself for the sake of others, enduring all things, coming not to be served, but to serve, and to give of yourself for sake of those around you. The divine love of Jesus is a stumbling block for many still. For if there is a savior from sin, a ransom being paid freely, then there must be a recognition that there is sin to be paid for, that there is God's law, and that men have darkened hearts against God, and that there is no price, no gold, no silver, no anything that we can pay for the debt owed sin against God. And when it comes right down to that, everybody in their sinful nature wants to avoid that reality. That's the work of the devil, the world, and our flesh. Meanwhile, there are those who spring forth out of good soil by the power of the Holy Spirit, who revel in Jesus' divine love. Such is the case with the blind Bartimaeus, the man near Jericho. He cannot see with his eyes. He is only able to beg each day for his existence. Yet the man believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, looking in faith for the Lord, for the Son of David. And lo and behold, he finally passes by. And he won't shut up. The blind man has faith in and hope for and love of his promised Savior, even a Savior and King who is heading to Jerusalem to die, that this Savior and King will show him mercy. And he does. The one who could not see could see again. Actually, he already saw just fine. Saved from sin, he followed Jesus then, says Luke, glorifying God. When you see what manner of love the Father has for you, you give praise to God. And eventually, after the resurrection, those disciples, they too would rejoice to know this love of their Lord and Savior. They would go from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, praising that divine love, even giving their own lives for the sake of the gospel. Jesus' divine love does that. He changes us. That love has done that in you too. You are here today, believing and hoping for all things promised by the divine love of Jesus that you have come to know and believe. You too will endure all things in this life. You will endure the cross behind your Lord Jesus. I wish it were not so, but enemies will abuse you. Co-workers and friends will betray you. Spouses and relatives will let you down. Death and disease and disaster will strike. You'll be blind to the ways of this world, and you'll find yourself begging for God's kingdom to come quickly and save. But I know, and you know, that every baptized blind beggar knows. Jesus has shown the divine love of God. He has shown mercy. He has gone up unto Jerusalem, and everything written about the Son of Man by the prophets has been accomplished. He has been delivered over to the Gentiles for your offenses. He has been mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon as punishment for your sins, in your stead, in your place. And after they flogged and tortured him, they killed him in the most agonizing and shameful way that they could. Divine love took its course, the only course that could save you and bring you the kingdom. And you know that this story of Jesus' divine love for you is true too. For on the third day, he rose. He rose for you to bring you home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.